tonight, we're going to be talking about the title of my message is It's a Spiritual Thing. Everybody say, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. I'm going to go ahead and read our text. Y'all bear with me. We're going to read through. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can go there or click there or however you do it. I know all of you that are tech savvy, you probably have your iPhones and your Bibles on your phones and that kind of stuff. And so, just know anytime you see me or my wife over there on our phones during church, we've got our Bibles and our notes and everything on our phones. She's not texting. Oh, before I get started though, let's do something. We're just going to agree. Brother Roger and Sister Amanda, they're not here tonight, and it's a rare thing that they're not here. You know, they're diehards. They're here all the time, every service. But, Amanda's sister had a four-wheeler riding accident. Last night, she just found out about it this morning. Her sister had a serious neck injury, and, they'll be going to Little Rock with her tomorrow to, have her checked out further and run some tests and things like that. But we're just going to stand and believe with him over her healing. And just pray that this will be a time that God will allow through this. The enemy tried to take her out, but we're just going to believe that God is going to use it to open a door to minister the love of Jesus Christ and the healing power of Jesus Christ to her. So let's just join with her. Susan, would you mind standing up? Just stand out on Amanda's behalf. And we're going to pray for her sister. Some of you, y'all just stretch forth our hands toward Sister Susan. And again, we're praying for Amanda's sister. What's her name? Rebecca, serious four-wheeler accident. But anyway, we just believe, hey, God's got it in his hands. Amen. So, Father God, we just join together, Lord God, with Amanda and Roger tonight over Amanda's sister, Rebecca, Father God. And we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that your hand would be extended out to her tonight, God. We're praying right here in our church here in El Dorado, but God, I believe in Jesus' name, your Holy Spirit is ministering right there where Rebecca is, God. And we pray, God, for your healing power, God, to flow through her body. God, I pray, Father God, that you would touch her, Lord God, like she's not been touched before, Lord God, that you would work a miracle of healing in her body. And Lord, cause this thing that the enemy meant to take her out to be the very thing that opens the door for her to come to a saving knowledge of you, God, and to realize that you are a God that can change her life, save her life, impact her life like nobody else can, Father, in Jesus' name. So we just stand and agree with Roger and Amanda over her sister this tonight, Lord, to bring healing, God, and to bring salvation, Lord God, and to use this, God, as an opportunity to be a light to her in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, we just call it done. We believe, God, that as we pray, Father God, Lord God, that you are going and you are moving, that your angels have been dispatched, Lord God, to her side, God, in Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to get into it this morning. The title of the message is, it's a spiritual thing. All right. Say spiritual thing. All right. It's a spiritual thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and read through all the way from verse 6 all the way into the chapter 3. So let's start in verse 6, though, 1 Corinthians 2. And Gary, if you're putting anything on the screen, I'm using most of my stuff is the New King James. All right. So verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Everybody say, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. We're going to get into this in just a minute, but let's just do some basic stuff here. The basic stuff here, and y'all, we can have crowd participation if y'all want to. So we're made up of three different things. Anybody know how we're made up? Anybody know what we're made up of? We are a spirit being. We have a mind or soul, and we live in a body, a natural physical body. Now, some of us live in bodies that we're proud of. Some of us live in bodies that need some work, like me. Some of us live in bodies that our wives have to help us try to change. But we live in this natural state, in this natural body, in this natural world. But we are at heart, at the core, a spiritual being. When God created us, he said, let us create him in our image. God is a spirit being. And that didn't mean God was creating us to have his nose, necessarily, or his ears. You know, although I tell my wife sometimes that I have God's nose in my ears. I try to, you know, convince her by faith. I speak over my natural body by faith. But anyway, but God created us in his image, meaning he was going to make us spiritual beings like himself. Amen? So we're a spiritual being. We have a mind, and we live in a natural body. Now, from the scriptures we read, we can all see that we live in a natural body, but we have a choice that we can either live as natural, carnal people, or we can live as spiritual people. And that's what I'm going to talk to you tonight. I'm going to talk to you about spiritual things, living as spiritual people. Not just remaining in the natural and in the carnal, but we need to get to a place where we realize that we are created to be spiritual beings, and we are made alive in our spirit by Christ Jesus. And God wants us to live a spiritual life, not always focused on the natural, not just limited to the natural, to what we can see and things like that. But God wants us to live as spiritual beings. Y'all say it's a spiritual thing. I got to have y'all say it every now and then just to make sure you're awake. All right. And if you see somebody beside you nodding off, just say hallelujah real loud and see how they react. All right. I never forget there was a guy in the old church when the church was back over across the river. Miss Sister Mary probably remembers, but there was an older gentleman that used to sit up on the front row, and boy, he would nod off during the service, and it was never free. We'd always watch teenagers. We liked to watch him, you know, because when it got to be an exciting point in the message, and Pastor Jerry got fired up and hollered, and people said amen, he would wake up speaking in tongues. Anyway, so it was funny. We always wanted to try to wake him up when it wasn't getting excited and see if he woke up just as excited. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, So we're going to talk about just a little bit now. And the natural things, we all know what the natural things are. The natural things, the things we can see, hear, smell, touch, you know, things that are natural, things that we just, in this natural world, you know, shirts, clothes, things that we can accept that are there. Did any of you have any doubt when you sat down tonight on your chair that your chair was there? No, it didn't require faith that the chair was there. It didn't require anything. It was just a natural thing. It just came easy. You just sat down. Now, if you had to sit down by faith tonight and believe that the chairs were there, we'd probably all still be standing right now, wouldn't you? We don't like to fall these days without catchers, right? I used to know, we went to in Ruston, there was one guy that always go up for prayer, and he'd always check behind him when they went through the prayer line. He'd always take a look back, and then he'd fall out, you know? I always thought that was pretty funny. But he didn't have faith in it, you know? It was a natural thing. You had to see if there was somebody there. But the natural things are things that we see, things that are here, are tangible things. Now, the spiritual things, though, are the things that require faith. The things that require faith. It requires belief and faith in the unseen. It's the realm where God lives. Amen. It's the realm where God operates. And you know, some people get all weird, you know, when you start talking about the spiritual and the unseen things. I know some of you right now are probably thinking, uh-oh, Jason's going to go get weird on us tonight talking about the unseen world, the spiritual realm. But you know what? We need to get rid of that mentality. We need to get rid of those thoughts, because our basic Christianity in its very basic form, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It requires faith in the unseen. It requires faith in God, right? How many of you have met Jesus personally and shook his hand? Huh? Nobody in here. But it requires faith in the unseen. But that's Christianity in its basic form is a supernatural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so we're talking about that tonight. The spiritual things, living and operating in an awareness of the spiritual realm, and getting to where we're no longer just carnal, natural people, but we are supernatural, spiritual beings alive in Christ and aware of what He's doing and what's going on around us. Say, it's a spiritual thing. So the natural man, so we have a choice. We can grow up and we can continue our lives in the natural. If you have breath, then you're a natural man. Do we have everybody, a natural woman, natural man or woman? Okay. Women, don't get offended. If I say man, I mean both mans, man and woman. Okay. All right. So we are natural people. Now let's talk about the natural man a little bit, because we should never be satisfied with staying in the natural. We should never be staying Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, you know, he started talking about that. Paul said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but I had to speak to you as carnal. Now tell you what, now we all start off there, but I never want to stay and remain in any area of my life in the carnal realm. Because let me tell you about the natural man. The natural man, Romans 8:7 says this, the natural man cannot please God. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal man, the carnal mind, the carnal thing will never be subject to the spiritual things. It can't understand it. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right? So it cannot please God. The natural man cannot please God. The natural man has no potential in the spirit. Amen? We don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay in the carnal. And then back to our text we read, 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. You can't receive the things of the Spirit. The unbelievers and people that, you know, that are unbelievers, they haven't been born again. They can't receive, they can't understand the things of the Spirit. To them, they are foolishness. And I tell you what, in any area of our life where we refuse to move in an area of faith and an area of spiritualness, then we remain carnal in those things, we will never be able to receive the things of God in that area. We'll never be able to receive the things of God, because to us they'll be foolishness. And I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of people that think my lifestyle is foolishness. I know a lot of people that don't understand the conviction of the Holy Spirit, don't understand the leading of the Holy Spirit, don't understand standards and limits and following God's will and living my life to please God. To them, it's foolishness. To them, it's foolishness. You all know people like that. The things that you stand for and the things that you're convicted of and the things that you apply to your life to the natural world, to the carnal world, is foolishness. But I tell you what, to the spiritually minded person, it's life. All right, we'll get to that. So they can't receive the thing of the Spirit. To them, it is foolishness. And they can't know them. It says they can't know them because it's spiritually discerned. The carnal man can only have a head knowledge of what the Word says, of who Jesus is and what the Bible declares. Only have a head knowledge. But I'll tell you what, Psalms 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Having the word in your heart requires us to go beyond just a head knowledge and get to a place of belief in the Word. Amen? How many know it's different between knowing the Word and understanding the Word and believing the Word? You know what? We walk through things in our life. We still, as Christians, there's areas of our life that we still, man, we may know the Word and we quote the Word and we read the Word, but sometimes it takes us a while to get to a point of belief in the Word, because we have to overcome that natural minded self, that carnal self, get past all that and come to a place where we can believe and stand on God's word. The natural man can never do that. A carnal man can never do that because it has to be spiritually discerned. It requires faith. And the natural man, the carnal man, can't operate in faith because faith is not a natural thing. Faith is a supernatural thing. Amen? Faith is a supernatural thing. That's why we said Christianity, at its very basic form, it's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing because it takes faith to even be born again. Now, we all start out there. We all start out in the natural, but if we stay in the natural and if we continue as carnal people, and I know all you guys sitting here, you're not carnal, you're not natural. I know you're not there, but I'm just building up to it. This is just the basic, laying the groundwork. But if we continue as carnal, then we'll never understand the things of the Spirit. But it's a progression. I heard another preacher say that we have to have the Word of God in our ears, our minds, our hearts, and our mouths. We have to have the Word of God in our ears because we have to hear the Word. What does the Bible say? That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. We have to have it in our minds to understand the Word. We have to have it in our hearts to believe the Word. And we have to have it in our mouths to speak the Word. Amen? It's a progression. It's a progression. But we've got to get past just head knowledge and get to the point where we can have faith and trust in the unseen. That's the natural man, though. But the spirit man is what I want to talk to you about tonight. It's really what I want to get into tonight. It's the spirit man. And we all start off, I already said, we all start off as carnal and natural. You know, so we can be alive in the natural. We can be alive in the natural. We have breath, but because we're born in sin nature, that we're all spiritually dead. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3 through 7, if you'll turn there, Jesus said something to Nicodemus. See, because we're all void on the inside, all humanity is void on the inside. They have a place that only God can fill. Amen? In the natural, though, even though we live when we have breath, we have to be born again. In John 3, verse 3 through 7, says, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, that's the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel to you that I said you must be born again. You see, flesh can never produce the life that God can produce through his Spirit. Amen? And so God wants to take us from this natural man, this dead, natural, carnal man, to a spiritual man. He wants to make us powerful spiritual beings. Amen? Powerful spiritual men and women of God. Powerful spiritual children. Amen? All you kids in the house, wave, God's talking to you. God wants to create in you a spirit that's full of life. He wants us to go from this natural thinking, natural world, natural realm that we live in, to be aware and to be active and to be alive in the Spirit. Alive in the Spirit. There's a spiritual realm that is more real and tangible than the natural realm if we really understand and we really take hold of the spiritual world, the spiritual life that God has for us. And that's why I said that Christianity is a spiritual thing. Because I tell you what, Christianity, when you go from the place of hearing and knowing what the Word says to the place of believing and really believing in Jesus and really believing in the Word, then that is a dynamic spiritual thing that takes place where our natural man that has a spirit that's dead and not born comes in connection with the life of the Spirit of God. Amen? And when you come in connection with that life-giving Spirit of God, and we're doing, what happens is what Jesus was talking about in John 3. It says, you are born again. That means life has come into you. God has made your spirit alive in Him. How many of you are thankful that God has made you alive in Him tonight? How many born again believers do we have in the house tonight? Let me tell you, you're not just, don't just say that as a casual thing. Oh yeah, I'm born again, I'm saved. God has given you life on the inside. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And it says that same Spirit can make your mortal body live. Amen. How many of you need the life of God inside you? How many of you have the life of God inside you? I tell you, that's something that we can be excited about. That's something that can get us charged up every morning. I want God to remind me of the life that He's given me in my spirit. Amen? It's a supernatural thing. You know what? So a lot of times we don't think. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I have to make myself remember that life isn't all about the natural stuff that goes on. That my God has a plan and a purpose for me. He's given me life. He's given me strength. He's called me and anointed me. He's called you and He's anointed you for a purpose. And every morning I need to remind myself, and you need to remind yourself, God, what is your plan for me today? I know I'm going to get up. I'm going to get ready and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to work for 9 or 10 hours a day. But God, what is your plan? God, what appointments do you have for me today? God, what appointments? Whose path do I need to cross today? And what do I need to speak into their life? God has life available to us every day. Every day. And He has life to impart, not just into us, but He has life to impart to others through us. The life of God. Now I tell you what, if we truly want to be alive in the Spirit, then we need to be praying, God, help us see those spiritual needs. Help us to see that spiritual plan that you have for me today, tonight. Because I tell you what, if we only consume, if we only receive, then we'll die spiritually. But God desires for us to have an outlet. God desires for you on your job to have an outlet for Him. Tell you what, God's called us to be His hand and His feet and His voice to this world. It's a spiritual thing. And you can have spiritual, significant spiritual impact every day of your life. How many of you want that? How many of you want the life of God to permeate through you and extend beyond you into those that you live and work around? Amen. That is the purpose that God's given us, to be His life. That life that He's given us isn't meant to be contained and isn't meant to be held on to. It's meant to fill us up and run out on others. Amen. Run out on others. Everybody say it's a spiritual thing. You know, you don't think about it. We used to, you know, when we were pastoring the young couples in Camden for all those years, you know, it took a while for me to learn. But a lot of times, you know, God will take the simplest things. You know, a lot of times we used to think like the Bible studies and the devotions, those were really, man, those were the times you could really pour into people's life. But God began to show me a long time ago that He doesn't necessarily need a service atmosphere or a devotion atmosphere. You see, God has put something inside of you that can touch people's lives in any setting. And anyway, I got to where I would enjoy the fellowship settings more than the other stuff, because it gave me opportunity to touch people individually, to build relationships with people, and to reach out to them and pour the life of God into people. It just in a social setting. Because I tell you what, God's a personal God. God's a personal God. And every one of you, I look out across this room, I see a bunch of ministers. You know what? I see a bunch of ministers. I see people that I know are full of God and are full of the love of God. And everywhere you go, every day, I believe there's not a person sitting in here tonight that God doesn't have somebody that only you will minister to. Only you will touch. And it's that life of God. It's that spiritual impact that I think we need to be aware of tonight. I really believe that God is wanting to open our eyes to see the importance and the impact of the spiritual realm that we live in. Even on our job, even in the grocery store. But I'll tell you what, there's so many experiences that we've had just on a fellowship basis, getting talking to somebody and people will open up to you. I'll tell you what, if you've got something on the inside that God can use to touch other people, they will open up to you. God will give you doors of opportunity. And we need to be aware of those things. And we need to pursue those things. And we need to seek after those things. In the midst of this natural world, there is significant supernatural impact that each one of you can make for the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? It's a spiritual thing. And so when it comes to it, we have a choice. We can live as natural, carnal people, or we can live as spiritual people made alive through the power of Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The Spirit of God dwells in you. We just talked about that this morning. I'll tell you what, it was so awesome this morning. You know, the week after Easter is always low. We had a really small number in kids class, in kids church this morning. And, you know, it was just one of those times where it just didn't seem like things were flowing. But this morning, I shared it with you, a couple of people that I've talked to. I shared it with you all. But this morning, we had about three or four kids get saved for the first time. You know, kids, everybody got saved last week on Easter, right? Everybody stood up. But today, we had three kids stand up and said, "This is the first time I've ever prayed that. This is the first time ever." Three kids got saved. And man, I was happy about that. And I didn't even plan this. But God's been challenging me to take our kids to another level spiritually. And so I was real hesitant about this. But this morning, God just put it on my heart to go beyond salvation. And we started talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we had three kids that got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for the first time right there in Kids Church this morning. And we prayed with them. Man, I tell you, one kid, they were all just kind of nervous about it. But one of the kids back there, man, when he started speaking in tongues and I was praying with him, man, he started speaking in tongues. He just started weeping and crying as he was praying in tongues. And I was just like, "It's okay, man. Keep crying. Keep speaking. Keep crying. Keep speaking." And then we had another kid that was so cute. Before I really explained everything to him, I told him, "Now we're going to pray." And I said, "Now you got to take part in this. You got to speak out whatever you feel coming up on the inside of you. You got to speak it out." And one of the kids, he said, "My cousin doesn't believe in Jesus." And so I thought he was just telling me about it. Okay. And then again, we're talking about, I said, "You got to speak whatever you feel coming up. Speak it out." He said, "My cousin doesn't believe in Jesus." I said, "You know what?" But that was in his heart. Man, he was so concerned. And so I explained to him that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God gives you boldness to witness. You know, and God will help you know what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you words to share to your cousin and those kind of things. So we explained that to him. And then we went back to speaking in tongues and saying, now the words that you feel welling up aren't going to be English words. Anyway, so we prayed a little bit longer. And then he started speaking in tongues. He started speaking in tongues. And when he first started speaking, he said it like a question, you know. He's like, he said a few syllables, like looking up. And he said it and he looked up at me like questioning his mind. I was like, "There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong words. Just whatever you fill up, you just let it out." So then he started speaking in tongues. And then the third kid was a little bit more shy. But then the third kid that came up, only three of them came up to be filled. But all three of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you what, God wants us to go beyond where we've been before. God wants us to open up our eyes and begin to see the spiritual impact and the spiritual levels that He wants us to take us to. How many of you guys have spiritual goals and spiritual things that God's put on your heart that He wants you to do this year? How many of you can raise your hand? If you don't have to. Some of you can raise your hand if you just want to be comfortable. So anyway, but I believe, man, if you haven't, pray, "God, where are you taking me spiritually?" I tell you what, God wants us to begin to focus on the spiritual realm. He wants us to have aspirations and desires, and He wants us to shoot for the big things. Amen. I tell you what, God wants to open us up spiritually. He wants us to be more aware of the spiritual realm. He wants us to be more aware of the spiritual impact that our lives have on others. He wants us to realize this is a spiritual thing. Amen. Everybody say that with me. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. We need to become spiritually minded. Romans 8:5 says, let me back up. All right, so the spiritual thing, the spiritual man and the natural man. And here's the thing I want to tell you. You know, what you feed is what will grow. We have a new puppy, that is already bigger than our dog that's, what, 11 years old? We got the puppy, it was about that tall, and now it comes up to about there on me, and it's supposed to get up to about 120 pounds. And I'll tell you what, that dog can eat. That dog can eat. When we put out food, it wants to eat its food and the other dog's food, and then if it can get to it and not get scratched in the nose, it'll go after the cat food. But that dog eats. You know, I'll tell you what else? That dog grows. What you feed will grow. Amen? And so we need to make a focused effort to feed our spirit man. Because the spirit and the flesh, they are at contention with one another. But I'll tell you, what you feed is what will grow. And we need to get to a place where we crucify the flesh and we feed our spirit. And we do it with consciousness and we do it with purpose. Amen? Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." Everybody say, contrary to one another. The Spirit doesn't like the flesh, and the flesh doesn't like the Spirit. And there's always a battle. They're contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You can't do both. The Bible says you can't please God and mammon too. And I'll tell you, we're either going to have to crucify the flesh to allow our spirit to live and feed the Spirit. Or if we don't, then the Spirit is going to contend against, I mean, the flesh will contend against the Spirit and rob your spirit of its life and of its growth. We have to feed our spirit. We have to feed our spirit, and we have to crucify our flesh. That's why one of the things that I love how we start the year off with a fast. I love how we start that off. But I'm trying to teach myself to have a lifestyle of fasting, not just to do it the first year. How many of you are like me? And you know, a lot of times, that church-wide fast at the first of the year, man, you're gung-ho, you do the fast, you're believing God, you're fasting, and you're praying, and then the rest of the year, you don't even think about it again. You don't even think about fasting again. Anybody else like that? You don't got to raise your hand. Put your hands down, please. Yes, we see those hands. Thank you. But man, I'm trying, and it's not easy, but I'm trying to have a lifestyle of fasting. Because let me tell you what fasting does. There was a scripture in the Bible where the disciples tried to cast out some demons and they couldn't. And Jesus, when they came back and they said, "We couldn't cast them out," you know, blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, you perverse and unbelieving people. You know? And so I heard somebody talking about it the other day, and they're talking about how believing, remember, as people, the reason they didn't believe is because they weren't connected enough to God. They didn't understand, they didn't have a firm belief and understanding and knowledge of who God is and what He can do. They were disconnected with who God is and the character of God. They were disconnected from God. And the perverse, when you call them perverse, that's because they were disconnected, they weren't connected enough to God, and they were too connected to the world. And so what prayer does, prayer and fasting does, is this. And it's just awesome how God lays this out for us. And so a lot of us have the same issues the disciples had. There's a lot of things I know in my life that I haven't overcome or that I haven't had the faith to because I'm not connected enough to God. Maybe I'm too connected to the world. But prayer and fasting does this. Prayer, what does prayer do? Prayer is communion with God. Prayer connects us with God. And fasting disconnects us from the world. And so prayer and fasting together. See, Jesus told them what the issue was, but then He followed up and said some of these things only come out by prayer and fasting. He told them what the problem was, but then He told them the solution. Prayer and fasting. And I just believe this year that God wants to make that part of our lifestyle. That we will have a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Not just at the first of the year, but all throughout the year. Because it's very important in the spiritual realm, with the spiritual impact of things, that we connect with God and that we become more disconnected with the world. Amen? Paul said, "I've got to decrease so that you can increase." Prayer and fasting does that. Prayer and fasting disconnects us from the world and connects us to the life, the source of life, the source of strength, the source of power to God Almighty. Prayer and fasting, that we need to make that a priority in our life and a common thing in our life. Does that sound good? Everybody all excited now? Yes, I know. Fast. A lot of times when you say fast, people act like it's a four-letter word. You know? It actually is. But anyway, they treat it like it's a, oh, don't say that word. No, don't. You know, I know. I'm there right there with you. But we've got to make it. We've got to realize the spiritual importance and impact of those things. And those things that are going to feed our spirit and crucify our flesh, those are the things that we need in our life. Those are more important than anything else in life, anything in the natural that we pursue. Those things that feed our spirit and crucify our flesh have a lot higher priority when it comes to spiritual things. Praise God. Everybody say, praise God. I love fasting. Oh man, y'all are so spiritual. I'm going to tell Brother Jerry this and that. Man, they all just embraced fasting. And so, anyway, maybe we need to call a mid-year church-wide fast. Does that sound good? Some of you say, that's all right, I'll give up popcorn. I remember the first time my kids were old enough to really participate in the fast. Nate, my son, so we asked him, we're like, we're doing a fast. Do y'all want to participate in the fast? Do y'all want to give up something, you know, for the Lord? And Nate said, I want to fast pears. So, we don't even eat a lot of pears in our house, but somehow he chose pears. And so, you know, we wanted to encourage him in his fast. And so we're like, oh, that's great. That's great. So anyway, so that's kind of a joke around our house. Now at the first of the year, now I don't know what else we're going to fast. We're always going to fast pears. So just remember that. Speaking of pears. So as we crucify our flesh, as we feed our spirit, then that God will begin to work the things in our life that only the Holy Spirit can bring. How many of you want to see an increase? I know Sunday mornings we're just starting series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, the more we feed our spirit, the more prevalent the fruits of the Spirit are going to be in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things, man, those things we need in our life. And then on Sunday nights and just... starting in just the next couple of weeks, we're going to begin a series on the gifts of the Spirit. Man, I tell you what, on Sunday morning, we're going to get the fruits of the Spirit. Sunday night, we'll get the gifts of the Spirit. We're just going to be walking on cloud nine by the time it's all over with. But the gifts of the Spirit. And here's the thing. We've got to begin to want to live our life and to live our life as supernatural beings, as spiritual beings. And as we do that, we're going to begin to see not only the gifts of the Spirit evident in our life, but the fruit, not only the fruits of the Spirit evident in our life, but the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our life. The gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to start going through these, and we're going to do some good studies on the gifts of the Spirit, because it's our pastor's heart and desire, and it's my heart and my desire to see our church operating in the full gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis. The gifts of the Spirit, if you don't know them, there's a list. You can find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And there's a couple other gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the Bible, the gifts of administration, the gift of helps. Man, those things, if we have all those things at work and operation in our midst, there is nothing that God can't take us through and that God can't give us victory over. To be the victorious church that God's called us to be, we need the fruits of the Spirit in our life. We need the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in our church. We need to be spiritually minded and spiritually strong. Romans 8 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That's Romans 8, 6. See, we have to be a spiritual person to connect with God. He's a spiritual being. We have to get rid of the mindset that the spirit stuff is strange and weird and realize that is the only thing that will connect us with God. That is the only thing that will connect us with our life, with our hope, with our rescue, with our King, God Almighty. The more the Spirit grows, the closer our connection with God, the fruits of the Spirit will be more prevalent, and the gifts of the Spirit will operate more powerfully through us. Man, you want to be somebody that touches people that you live around, that ministers to people's life? I know you guys are the same as me. You want to have credit to your name in heaven for souls being saved. Every soul that you touch and bring into the kingdom of God is a life, a soul that won't spend eternity burning in hell. When you read Revelations and what's in store for those who are not living for God and who don't call Jesus their Lord and hold Him as their Lord and Savior. Man, you read that, and that ought to be motivation for every Christian in this world to reach out to other people. Man, we want to be a spiritually minded people. But there's purpose behind that. There's purpose behind that. There's the Great Commission behind that. To go out and to reach the lost. To make an impact in people's life. You will never have a greater fulfillment in your life than you will to lead somebody to Jesus. Or than you will to counsel somebody that's having family troubles and save a marriage. To see somebody because of your life and the love of Jesus demonstrated through you, turn their hearts to God and walk closely with God. There's nothing that's more rewarding than that. And that's where God's taking us. But we got to become spiritually minded. We got to realize that, hey, this thing, the important things in life, it's a spiritual thing. Everybody say, it's a spiritual thing. But that's where God's taking us. And on Sunday nights, we're going to begin to get into the gifts of the Spirit and then the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we know God wants at work in us, in this church. But I tell you what, it's you and me that's going to bring those gifts. Those gifts can only operate through willing people who want to be used and who are spiritually minded. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word tonight. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will begin to open up our eyes, God. Open up our eyes, God, to a whole new world in you, Father God. To the life that the Spirit wants to bring to us. God, open our eyes to the supernatural doorways and opportunities and appointments that you have for us. God, open our eyes to the power of God that you want to pour in us and pour through us, Lord God. Help us to be spiritually minded. Lord, help us to be spiritually minded, Lord God, because to be spiritually minded is life. God, I pray that you would pour your life into everybody in the sound of my voice, that you would pour your life into them, God, to the point that they overflow, God, and begin to pour your life out into their world. And Lord, I pray that you would let this church be a church, Lord God, that puts the things of the Spirit as top priority, God. And we see our community changed through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done today. Lord, I thank you for the work that you did in this service this morning, God. For the altar call, for the lives that were ministered to through your Spirit, Lord God. I thank you for the kids' church service, God. Those kids, God, that were saved and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you, Lord God, that your Spirit is alive and ready to move and act and work in our midst, God. Open our eyes. Help us to cry out to you and desire the things of the Spirit. To desire the fullness of what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.